fishing while out from the dock, watching the waves roll off the rocks.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Molly and Kim, TGIF. It is Friday. You guys made it. Ah, sigh of relief. You know, President Trump has been making some big, big waves lately, and noticed in the news that he has closed the PLO. He is no longer funding the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency. And also, he and John Bolton have said that we are not going to be attacked by the International Criminal Court. We are sovereign. So I invited Sarah Stern, we invited Sarah Stern to join us. She is the founder and the president of Endowment for Middle East Truth. And I just saw an article that they came out with where Sarah was recently quoted saying President Trump has given the Jewish people and the state of Israel and the U.S. a gift by closing the PLO office in Washington. I wanted to find out what does she mean by that, because I don't know a lot about this whole PLO office. So, Sarah Stern, welcome to the AmeriChick Show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, well, we're so glad to have you. Sarah, tell us, why is it important that he closed the PLO office, and what is the PLO office?
Okay, the PLO office has been functioning basically as an embassy for the Palestinian Authority and the PLO. In 1993, on September 13th, 1993, when the Oslo Accords were signed, the international community took the PLO and whitewashed, basically, their record of terrorism and their record of incitement and hatred, and basically wanted to give them a clean slate. And to ensure that they would actually be using the accords to teach nonviolence, to be able to develop the infrastructure of statehood. And for 25 years, the total opposite has occurred, where basically they have used every opportunity possible, including their curriculum in the school, their summer camps, their mosques, their PA-controlled television and media, to incite their people, and especially their children, to despise Jews, to try to hate and to kill Jews and Israelis. And unfortunately, they have killed some just garden variety American Christians like Keller Force, thinking that they were Jews. And by now, they have killed 70 American citizens and almost 3,000 Israelis, just civilians walking in the street. In 2015, an act of Congress was passed saying that if the PLO or PA, Palestinian Authority, which is basically two sides of the same coin, Mahmoud Abbas is the president of both, and by the way, he's in his 13th year of a four-year term.
it's that new math.
Yeah, fuzzy math.
Yeah. If they tried to take Israel to the International Criminal Court, this 2015 law states that they should close down the PLO office. And they have. And so they were actually just following American law. But beyond this, I think that the Trump administration...
Sarah, just reconfirm, what did you just say? You said that if they took Israel to the international court, then America would close down the PLO.
Then American law states that that office will be shut down.
And this was passed in 2000.
And this was in 2015 during the Obama administration, believe it or not.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah. So here we are. The Trump administration has been trying and trying and trying to meet with the PA, and they have shunned every attempt. And this is in order for them to have a peace process. They have shunned every attempt without even having had seen any peace process. You know, it's before the peace process is even unveiled. So I feel that, you know, for 25 years, it's been 25 years since the signing of the Oslo Accords. That's a quarter of a century. And all of the accords and every subsequent agreement, and there were many, but, you know, Camp David Accord, Camp David II, the Y Accords, the Hebron Agreement, all of them are predicated around the fact that the Palestinians have got to stop the incitement and they have got to stop the terrorism. And they have had a quarter of a century to prove this. Yet the bloodshed has only continued. And actually, it's gotten worse since the signing of the Oslo Accords. So, you know, I think that President Trump has been, he's given a gift to Israel and to Jews and to the international community, and especially to the United States, because when we show that we are basically willfully blinding ourselves against incitement to hate and to kill and to terrorism, it shows a lack of moral resolve in terms of international terrorism and in terms of radical Islamic terrorism.
You know, Sarah Stern, I think a lot about, and under the Obama administration, we heard a lot about, peace. These people are peaceful. They're peaceful. And, you know, the PLO, you said, was opened when the Oslo Accords were put into place. And this was really to seek peace in the Middle East. And that was what we wanted to make sure, is that we were all working towards peace in the Middle East. And if they were going to do that, then they could continue to have their PLO office in Washington. And if they did not, they could not. Why do you think it is that for 25 years, we've had presidents and Congress on both sides of the aisle that have turned a blind eye to the PLO inciting violence and hate against Israel rather than working towards peace?
That's an excellent question. I think people want to be optimists. And, you know, sometimes we delude ourselves to painful reality. You know, I want peace. Look, I have a daughter who lives over there, who's married to another American who served as a lone soldier in the IDF. You know, I have grandchildren now that live there. Everybody wants peace, but, you know, peace through, I believe in what Ronald Reagan said, peace through strength and not through appeasement and not through wishful thinking. And I think that for the past quarter of a century, many people, including the left in Israel, had deluded themselves, and they were sick of the continuous conflict, and they took the granddaddy of international terrorism, Yasser Arafat, who basically invented skyjacking. You know, remember the days mm-hmm. when that's the reason we all have to wait in line in airports mm-hmm. for security check-ins. It's, you know, and they basically sanitized him and made him into a peacemaker. Yet, the very day the Oslo Accords were signed, Yasser Arafat went into on Jordanian television and said, you know, this is just like the Habadiyah Accords that the Prophet Muhammad signed with the tribe of Quraysh in the 7th century, basically to make them, which was a stronger side, to make them believe in them and more vulnerable, and then Muhammad vanquished that that tribe. And so when we heard in the beginning of Oslo, the peace of the brave, it meant the peace of the warrior. And people in America thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? The peace of the brave, they're brave enough to forge a peace accord. So we, you know, Americans and, you know, and much of the international community, we tend to project our own good natures onto the rest of the world. Mm. And, you know, life is like a projected test, you know, and we would love to believe that people are basically good at heart. Right. You know, those of us who, you know, believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic of the sanctity of human life, we can't imagine raising our children and to want to become suicide bombers or to, you know, stab a knife in an Israeli, you know, which just happened last Monday. And obviously to become what they call a martyr, to be taken down. And then, you know, for the Palestinian Authority to give them the family of the martyrs, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars as a reward. Mm. It's absolutely antithetical to our way of thinking, to think that this kind of thing could be praised and rewarded. It's awful. It's just awful.
Sarah Stern, you know, it seems to me the enemy has been taking a lot of advantage of our kindness lately. They do count on the fact that America, with our Judeo-Christian values, that we do believe that most people are good, and that we do believe that if we get out there and we help them, we listen to them. And really, if we help give a hand up, that people will take that and they will start to work for themselves, and they will want to do good things, and they will be kind to others as we are. Right. I think America's the most charitable country that I know. And not only do we give, you know, our government gives with our tax dollars, but we give out of our own money as well after tax. And that's a lot, because, you know, our government taxes us a lot. So that's a big hit. But we give a lot also towards refugees, and we need to go to break. But when we come back, Sarah Stern, I'd like to talk to you about President Trump just announced that the U.S. is no longer going to fund the UNRWA, which is the Palestinian Refugee Agency that the U.N. Has been giving money to. And so I want to find out just your thoughts on that, and give us a little explanation on the UNRWA. How much money were we giving? Why was it such a big deal? And why does he feel it's time to pull back on that? So if you don't mind, stick through the break. Sarah Stern with Endowment for Middle East Truth. We'll be right back with the Americhicks. Hey, happy Friday. Welcome back to the Americhicks Show. You know, President Trump has been shaking it up. He recently announced on August 31st, the U.S. is no longer going to fund the UNRWA. So I've invited Sarah Stern, founder and president of the Endowment for Middle East Truth, to come on and kind of give us a deeper explanation of what is the UNRWA, why were we funding it, and why do you think President Trump is pulling that back? Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
So tell us about the UNRWA.
Okay. UNRWA, or the UN Relief Works Agency, was founded in 1949 after the birth of the State of Israel, essentially to take care of the Palestinian refugee problem. It was supposed to have been a short-term type of agency. Unfortunately, you know, you do the math, it's going on 70 years, or it's over 70 years, basically. Oh, it's going on 70 years that it's been around. During the same time, the United Nations High Commission of Refugees was founded to take care of the enormous amount of refugees from World War II. Now, UNHCR's mandate is to immediately make sure that the refugees are reestablished in the places that they fled to, that they are given citizenship and jobs. But UNRWA, UNRWA, is basically there to perpetuate the 1948 conflict. And what they do is, even though Israel has tried time and time again to make sure that these refugees go out of the camps, especially the ones living in Israel. They actually built really nice apartment buildings at one point to try to get the refugees into. They would not go there, because by 1949, when UNRWA was established, then the Arab League, now the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation, will not allow the refugees to go out of these camps. We have, right now, there are millions of refugees. It started with 600,000, but UNRWA is perpetuated for generation after generation after generation. So if your great-grandfather fled Israel because of the 1948 war, in which, I have to add, the Arab leaders were telling them, just leave, you know, temporarily. We are going to defeat this ragtag army of Jews, and you will be able to go back to your homes. And Israel was successful. So, unfortunately, the Arab League kept them in the state of perpetual victimhood. And this psychologically is so, so bad. I mean, my relatives had to come here fleeing Hitler. I don't consider myself a refugee. You know, I'm a very, very proud American.
Yeah, lucky to get away from it.
Lucky to get away from it. You know, and the first thing that my parents did was to try to become Americans and, you know, to learn English, you know, and to get jobs and to get established in this country.
You know,
this
Sarah,
is not.
Yeah, to that point, there's a book that was out, and I think it's important to realize that many of the World War II refugees that came to America, typically they had to have a sponsor, and that sponsor right. said that, you know, we would help them, you know, get a place to live and help them get a job and a food. Mm. And there was a book that a friend of mine gave me recently that, and it was this story, and basically within a couple of months, they said, you know, here's an apartment, here's some food for 2 months, you know, here's an opportunity for a job. And that was it. There wasn't generations and generations of assistance.
Right. This is ridiculous. Annually, the United States has given the Palestinian Authority $600 million. You know, and it's been billions and billions of dollars by now. But what is so pernicious is that they have perpetuated the sense of victimhood and helplessness.
Mm. Sounds like the war on poverty in America, but
homelessness.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they have kept, you know, this 1948 war alive in their minds. If you go into an UNRWA camp, you'll see this key, a symbolic key, like in the gate of the Al-Bara refugee camp right outside of Jerusalem. I mean, and that key symbolizes the return to their great-grandfather's home, you know, and they have people longing to return to their ancestors' orchards and vineyards in Haifa. You know, this is pre 1967 Israel, and they teach the kids constantly that this is reality. And, you know, I used to be a school psychologist. I believe in reality therapy. You know, this just perpetuates their sense of victimhood and the sense of a conflict. And it's just wrong. It does not help the Palestinians.
Sarah Stern, you know, one thing that I was looking at was when President Trump said that, okay, we're going to stop funding the UN Relief Works Agency because, like you said, it's just perpetuating victimhood for generation after generation after generation and keeping these guys living as refugees in tents and what have you, rather than actually teaching them how to fish, how to take care of themselves, how to work, how to prosper, how to grow, grow wherever you are. And I noticed that the Middle East Forum has some ideas for change and for what the government could actually do with that money. And one of the ideas was that the U.S. government should divert those funds that we've been giving them, I don't know, over $300 million per year or something like that, but divert those funds now rather than to this refugee program, but to the local partners on the ground via direct relationships with hospitals, clinics, schools, microfinancing programs, vocational capacity building initiatives, infrastructure managers, things like that, actually to help them become self-sustaining. So it's not like the money's just going away entirely. It's actually helping them to get back on their feet. What do you think about that idea for a solution?
I think it's an excellent idea. I think it's also an excellent notion that people have to understand that, you know, Israel employs many Palestinians, and the Boycott, Divest, and Sanctions Movement, or BDS, has hurt the Palestinians tremendously. For example, SodaStream is a very, very successful company that was basically in the disputed territories and employed thousands of Palestinians. But the BDS movement said you cannot buy SodaStream because it's in the territories, and they waged a successful campaign, so successful that SodaStream uprooted themselves and went into Israel proper, you know, or pre-1967 Israel, and all of these Palestinians lost their jobs, you know, because they couldn't. It was just too hard to travel there. Mm. And, you know, it's the hatred that has metastasized, that the Palestinian Authority has done an excellent job of basically using every means possible, not only to incite their own people to hate Israel and to vilify Jews, but with the BDS movement, they have, you know, perpetuated these ugly myths about Israel and Jews, and that's what Natan Sharansky, this famous Soviet dissident, had said. You know, in the old anti-Semitism was basically against individual Jews and the practice of Judaism. The new anti-Semitism is against the collective state of the Jews, the state of Israel.
Well, it sounds like the Palestinian Authority is also teaching hatred for capitalism, and they don't want their own people to be able to work and prosper and create something for themselves. Sarah Stern, thank you for joining us today. I wanted to ask you about John Bolton. You know, he just came out and he said a couple of weeks ago, if the International Criminal Court is going to come after America for war crimes in Afghanistan and also come after Israel, that we will then... push back, and we will put we're just not going to take that because we're a sovereign country. We have our own laws, and the ICC is not going to be able to come after us. But we are out of time. Do you have a 60-second response to that?
Yes, I think these institutions of international jurisdiction have become like bullies in the playground, and there is this knee-jerk antipathy against the United States and against the state of Israel. So I think that John Bolton, who we honored in our organization many years ago and I adore, is absolutely right. We are a sovereign nation, and I do not respect nations such as Venezuela or you know, some of these European nations who have blood on their hands for my people dictating to the United States.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you, Sarah Stern. God bless you. We appreciate you today. We've got to get you back on. There's so much more to talk about. Check out emetonline.org for more on the Endowment for Middle East Truth.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And talking about international relations, Alexander Hamilton in 1793 said this. He said, "Foreign influence is truly the Grecian horse to a republic. We cannot be too careful to exclude its influence."
All right. Well, we are a sovereign nation, and it is Constitution Week. And we celebrate the Constitution because it limits our government and makes us individuals bigger and able to go out and prosper. So y'all have an awesome Friday. This is the Americhicks signing out. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.